Welcome to Changeling Cast, the podcast dedicated to reading, reviewing, and dissecting speculative romance series. I'm your host, Mara, from the BookTube channel Books Like Woe, and this season we are tackling The Innkeeper's Chronicles by Alona Andrews. Today to talk about Sweep With Me, which is, I guess, book 4.5 because it is the only novella we've gotten so far. And this happens, I'm going to say concurrently with the events of Sweep of the Blade, because this is roughly 2 weeks after the end of One Fell Sweep. So basically, Sean and Dina are settling into their life as a couple and as an innkeeper couple, which I thought was absolutely adorable. I will say that for novellas in the podcast, I don't do full spoilers because, I don't know, they're not that long and it feels like you should kind of just go enjoy them. But I will get into kind of the premise and my overall thoughts and some of the strengths and weaknesses I think this has as an entry unto itself and as an entry into the series as a whole. So I do just think it's absolutely adorable that Sean and Dina are together. So it starts off with him trying on the new innkeeper robe that she made for him. And let's see. Okay, so it says, today was such a beautiful, was such a moment. It didn't have the vivid colors of Baha Char or the fragile beauty of the apple trees, but I would never forget it. Sean Evans stood in our bedroom wearing an innkeeper's robe. Mirror, I murmured. Gertrude Hunt shifted its magic in response. The wall in front of us liquefied, snapping into a mirror. We stood side by side, he in a copper-colored robe that I had sewn for him, and me in the blue robe my mother had made me. I like it, Sean said. 3 days ago, he'd refused to wear a robe, but I had made this one myself, and now he liked it. You don't have to pretend, I told him. I like it. It's soft. And then it goes on. Sorry, I know this is kind of long, but I just thought this was precious and kind of sets the tone for the story. So it says, Gertrude Hunt, my inn, accepted Sean because it sensed that he loved me. When he spoke to the inn, it obeyed, and it tried to make him comfortable without being asked. Sometime in the last couple of weeks, between fighting off a cliff of alien assassins and nursing me back to health after the death of a seedling inn turned me catatonic, Sean had become an innkeeper. He had been an innkeeper for less than 2 weeks, and I had been an innkeeper for a couple of years, and in that short time, we had both skirted dangerously close to crossing the primary laws that govern the inns. Now, the innkeeper assembly, a gathering of prominent innkeepers, decided they wanted a closer look at me and Sean. Refusing the invitation wasn't an option. Now, it sounds like we're getting set up here. So first of all, just adorable. And I think, again, it plays into the overall theme, I think, of the series, which is the value of home and rootedness with a place and with people. And I think that that's really what this novella is kind of playing with, of both Sean settling into this new place, this new home, but then also Dina resettling into that place when she, basically after how chaotic and awful the events of One Fell Sweep were, she's feeling really disconnected from the Gertrude Hunt. She feels like there's distance between them. And this is kind of her little journey to re-find her footing with the Gertrude Hunt and kind of regain her confidence as an innkeeper. And the way that that happens is not through meeting with the assembly, which I will say I'm annoyed by. I'm very much hoping in the next book we finally get to see her go talk to the assembly because I'm very curious about like what that is and how that would go. But it gets called off because it's Treaty Day, which is a holiday celebrating when Earth signed its treaty and became, you know, neutral ground for inns for intergalactic travel. So it's a holiday, and on Treaty Day, no innkeeper can turn away a guest. And she ends up getting her appointment with the assembly canceled because she has a very important guest coming from the Dryfen. And the Dryfen come from this system that is supposed to be like one of the most filled with magic systems in the galaxy. There's not a lot known about it, but inns don't really like Dryfens because they're so magical, it kind of freaks them out, basically. Like, their magic overwhelms them. And so the Assembly cancels her, like, siding with them, or her, like, hearing, whatever. The reason they cancel it is because she has to have time to make ready for the Dryfen, and basically things kind of ensue from there. She also, at the same time, has two other guests, and each of these guests represent, like, not purposefully, she didn't seek them out, but they end up representing the three different types of guests that were present at the first treaty day. So she has the Dryfen, who are super, super magical. Then she has the Kuko, who are very intellectual. And actually, let me read you the description of the Kuko, because it is highly, highly entertaining. So Sean is asking who the Kuko are, and Sean looks to the ceiling. Show me a Kuko. A screen slid from the wall. On it, a being about 30 inches tall spread its plumage. Soft cream feathers covered its face, brightening to a shocking pink on the back of its head and back, and turned to vivid crimson on the wings and bushy tail. Dina, we're going to be hosting 61 space chickens. I gave up. Yeah. And they're going to be arguing philosophy? Mm-hmm. This means we're going to want a forum with a podium and a debate circle and a coop to sleep in. We have to buy a lot of grain. So anyway, it just made me laugh because basically they're very intellectual and they live to debate. They live for sort of philosophy and, you know, like, that's their whole thing, is that they like to have intellectual arguments about things. So that's their other guest, and they have like a separate coop area for them. And then they also get a metamoth, which is an incredibly aggressive predatory species who they need to keep away from the Kuko because they have a strong inclination to hunt them. So that's kind of like the setup. In terms of things that I love about this, like I said, I think thematically this is really nice in terms of sort of grounding Sean and Dina in this new dynamic between the two of them, seeing Sean in his own right as an innkeeper and seeing kind of how he operates, I think is really fun in this. And then just seeing Dina kind of reconnecting with the Gertrude Hunt and a lot of this, it feels like her finding her confidence again as an innkeeper and kind of getting back into her mojo. So I thought that that was really lovely. And I'll just say that the Dryfen, how that ends up kind of playing out, I thought was really a good sort of foil to Dina, especially not just like in sort of character, but also in journey, like thematic journey of, you know, well, I don't want to give anything away, but if you've read the story, I think you know where I'm getting to. But I thought that that was a nice strategic paralleling of their kind of motivations and sort of where they're basing their life on and like where they're finding their value. So I thought all of that was really nice. I think Oro in this is absolutely precious. I thought that that whole kind of side plot is really lovely. It builds him up even more as an adorable, just a really lovable recurring character. And he's on a mission for the Dryfen to make a special dish that they have requested. And so when the emissary for the Dryfen arrives, let's see, they come and tell Dina what needs to be made ready. The furry beast opens its mouth, and in a clear voice that should have belonged to some cute Muppet issued forth a double grand burger with cheese, large fries, and a Coke. So basically Oro is like, you cannot get that from McDonald's. You have to let me make it. So I thought that that was completely adorable. And then also just Oro, like, kind of getting his feet back under him. Like, we see that Oro and Caldenia in particular were really, impacted by, what happened in One Fell Sweep and how much they love Dina, even if they wouldn't necessarily put it that way. So I thought that that was really sweet. And Caldini in particular has a nice little speech. So Caldania says, let's just say that your ordeal took a toll on all of us, dear. When you sat there like a mannequin and your werewolf carried you everywhere while the inn was under attack, even I experienced emotional discomfort. It was fleeting, of course. I came to my senses quite quickly, but the momentary twinge was real. That creature in the kitchen is perhaps the most sensitive of us all. It shook him badly. So I thought that was sweet. There's some very sweet moments between Dina and Oro in this particular book. So anyway, all that to say, I do think that this is a really satisfying little novella. And when I first read it, I gave it 3.5 stars. But when I was going over my notes, I was like, no, this really is a 4-star. I think that it's a very, like, it's a good version of a novella, and it's a good version of an Alona Andrews novella. The two weaknesses with it that initially made me give it a 3.5, one has to do with sort of like the series as a whole in terms of its plotting, and the other is a weakness that I do think is more evident in the Innkeeper's Chronicles than any other Alona Andrews series I've read. So starting with the latter, I do think that this series tends to info dump its world building more than any of the other ones I've read from Alona Andrews. It's not horrible, but I think particularly in the novella, it felt more noticeable, and I had noticed it. The other one that I really felt it in was Sweep and Peace. I think I forgot to mention that as a critique, but I do think that there's a lot of info dumping that can happen. Now, granted, some of that is just, it's hard to get away from it if you're building all of these cool worlds, and every book you're going to have new species and new conflicts and new kind of cultures coming into the mix. So it's not that I don't understand the root cause of it and have some sympathy for it, but if I'm being honest, I do think that I feel the info dumping in this series more than I typically do. So I think that's kind of a demerit. And then I think my bigger critique is this book's function in the overall macro plot. Because as of this recording, I have not started the latest installment that was just released, which is, what is it? Sweep of the Heart. So that's the new one that just came out this week when I'm recording, and I haven't started it yet. I debated, should I record this before I start it or not? So I don't know where the macro plot is going, but I can say that as a reader of the series, and, you know, it's been, what, 1.5, 2 years since the last one came out, since the one we're talking about today came out, you get all of this forward momentum in the macro plot up through One Fell Sweep, and it has very much felt like a complete grinding to a halt of the forward momentum of the progress of the series since then. Now, this gets into the whole serialization bit. So if you're following along on the website, I'm sure that you don't feel this complaint as much because you're getting things fed to you as you go. But if you're like me and you can't enjoy the story that way and you're waiting for the bind-ups, it does get frustrating because I'm sitting here thinking, okay, at the end of One Fell Sweep, it was like Sebastian North. How are we going to find Gerard and Helen? Like, are we gonna, like, what's the next steps with that? And then we have a whole book that's in an entirely different world in book 4, which I did enjoy, but we talked about my angst with it. And it does end with seemingly an important nugget for the macro plot, which is Klaus showing up at Maud's front door, so to speak. So that seems like it's probably going to be important. And then this book, I mean, I guess in terms of the macro plot, we have Sean and Dina being more established as a couple and doing some innkeepery things together. We have Dina getting in her groove again as an innkeeper with a Gertrude Hunt. And then I guess the other thing is that by the end of the book, the assembly is off of their back. So, like, they're not in trouble there. But I almost wonder if this had been more effective if we had gotten at least a little bit of a scene with the assembly. Like, I could have seen that being a good way to feel like we were making more forward progress in the macro plot, because that's really pacing for the series wise. I think that this is the biggest miss of any Alona Andrews series I've read, because, and I should say, part of this critique is coming from a place of me thinking that the Kate Daniels series in particular, followed very closely by the first trilogy and the Hidden Legacy series, the Kate Daniels series is the best paced macro arc of a story I think I've ever read in genre fiction. It's so satisfying because each book has sufficient microplot things happening. So the book feels complete in and of itself. It never feels like you're just sort of like hanging out waiting for the big plot to happen. Like you're invested in what's happening in that particular book, but then there's always progression happening in the big picture. And it's divided into these three mini arcs, and it's just like a masterclass in pacing of serialized genre fiction, in my opinion. Like, I cannot think of a series that in my mind does it better. I do think Nalini Singh does a very good job of this in the Side Changeling series, but because it's kind of apples to oranges in terms of the project of the book, so maybe it's not fair to compare, but it doesn't feel like it has the same sort of inevitability to it that I think Kate Daniels does. And then I also think the Hidden Legacy original trilogy is another perfectly paced trilogy. So satisfying in each book, and you get to a very satisfying place by the end of that trilogy. And I think it completely works as the first trilogy in a bigger series. I would say that the second trilogy doesn't, the stakes don't feel quite as high, so it doesn't feel quite as just like, again, the word I want to use is inevitable. Like, I love when a series just feels like, yes, like this is how everything had to unfold. And it doesn't quite feel that way just because we resolve some of the biggest tension points in the first trilogy, but it also is resolving like bigger macro plot things. So anyway, all that to say, I love the way that Alona Andrews, like that writing team, paces their series. And I do feel like this is the weakest pacing in a macro series that I've encountered so far. Now, that being said, when I finish the next book, and that will be the next episode, when I finish it, it may be that I have a new perspective on what they were doing. I am open to that. And it may be that as the series progresses and this kind of period in it is further in the rearview mirror, and you can binge it and have it just be like kind of in the mix more, I wonder if it'll feel less that way to me. But right now, in the year of our Lord 2022, when all I have is the first five books out, when I originally started this, and I'm about to read the sixth one finally, I think it's not very satisfying if you are waiting for the bind-ups to be reading the series. So with all that being said, the good news is the sixth book is now out, and that is the book that we will be talking about next week. So I would give Sweep With Me 4 stars, ultimately. I would give it 4 out of 5 Big Macs for lulls, because I do think that there are some very funny moments in this, one involving the Alamo, which made me laugh. So I do think that this is a pretty funny book. In terms of found family, I'm going to give it 5 out of 5 Oro being worried about Dina's. Like, there's a lot of really lovely character moments in this one with recurring characters and with new ones. I think particularly the connection between Dina and the Dryfen ends up being very interesting and, like I said, a nice foil. In terms of shock and awe, I'm gonna give this like 2 out of 5 Dina getting her groove back, because really the shock and awe moment doesn't belong to Dina. It belongs to another character. And while it is a very good shock and awe moment, I am on the record of wanting, you know, our point of view character to be the one who has that moment. I wonder, by the way, if that character is going to end up at some point getting a side series, but this gets into my whole thing we were talking about last time of like, they make all these interesting characters that I'm like, oh, I want them to have a book and them to have a book, but like, they don't churn them out fast enough that I can do that. So it's like, I need you to focus on, like, keep giving me the Dina stuff. I need to get an Arabella series in here. I'm hoping Iron Covenant gets resolved at some point. Like, come on. So anyway, side note. Also, I should mention that I just realized that there's a new Kate Daniels novella coming out in January. So should I add that on as a bonus video or a bonus podcast? I may do that, because I'm already going to be covering Blood Air. So why not? I'll cover that as a bonus episode. So like, it's like I need them to focus on finishing the things they've already started, but they also give me all of these like very intriguing other characters, and I'm like, oh, I would not be mad if they got a story. Anyway, side note. Okay, woo woo factor. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is pretty par for the course in terms of, like, it remains a very interesting, we continue to find out interesting things about this world. So I'll give it, like, a 3 out of 5 super secret magical galaxy system thing for the Dryfens, whatever that is. So yeah, anyway, all that to say, I did enjoy this. I am very excited to see what happens in the next book. I'm going to be very cranky if the next book does not have some macro plot progression. So let's manifest that. It's already released, so I don't know that that's going to do much, but I'm manifesting that. And we will be back next week to talk about my first read, hot off the presses, of Sweep of the Heart. That is coming out a week from today. If you would like to follow me elsewhere, you can find me at Books Like Woe pretty much everywhere. YouTube, Goodreads, Instagram, TikTok, all the things at Books Like Woe. And if you are enjoying the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review wherever you listen, because it helps other people find the show. So tune back in for that. And then we'll be fully caught up, and I'll do a little wrap up for this series. And then we'll do a couple of bonus episodes, and then we'll be done with season 2. So anyway, tune back in this time next week. I just realized, when you're hearing this, it's the week of Christmas when this is first coming out. And when I talk to you next time, it will have just been Christmas. So for those of you who celebrate it, and actually I believe Hanukkah is underway too. So happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. And I hope whatever you celebrate, if you don't celebrate either of those holidays, at least here in the Western world, things slow down a lot. So I hope you are enjoying some time with those you love. I hope that you are taking some time to rest and rejuvenate yourself for the coming year. And yeah, I'm wishing the best to you and yours. And we will talk again next week about Sweep of the Heart. Bye!